Today we celebrate the Feast of St. Francis Xavier. The readings today focus on passages that he didn't just listen to, but acted upon. In the Gospel, Jesus' valedictory address, his last words before he ascended to heaven, going to the whole world, announcing the Gospel to every creature. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who don't will be condemned. And that moved Francis Xavier. Moved him. How many of us, if we were outside a burning building in which we heard the screams of children, would just stand out there saying, "Thanks be to God, I'm not in that burning building"? If any of us has a conscience, if any of us has an ounce of humanity, we're going to go to try to save those kids. And yet, so many people are dying forever, and most of the time we won't get off our derriere. St. Francis Xavier did get off his butt. And through great suffering, he went to the far known reaches of the world, to India, to a whole bunch of places that had never been visited by missionaries. Took the gospel to Japan. He died trying to take the gospel to China. He had that apostolic zeal. And he recognized a principle. That God's not going to send down a whole bunch of saints from heaven to do the evangelization for him. He's not going to send the Blessed Virgin Mary into every country like he did in Mexico to make straight the paths for the missionary. St. Paul, in that first reading today from the letter of the Romans, said, "How will people believe unless they hear? And how will they hear unless someone speaks the gospel to them? And how will someone speak that gospel to them? Unless that person has first believed the gospel, not just with his brain, but with his heart. And then confess that gospel with his lips." That's what moved St. Francis Xavier, not always. When he was at the University of Paris, he was a carefree young person. He wasn't living a sinful life, but he really wasn't living a devout life. But then he met an old man. By the standards of the time, in his young 30s, named Inigo from Loyola, the famous founder of the Jesuit St. Ignatius. Ignatius became his roommate. Francis started to admire Ignatius's great discipline. Ignatius was already filled with fire and really wanted to make of Francis a saint. Francis didn't really want to go that far that soon. But eventually, Ignatius won him over, as he won many others at the university of the Sorbonne in Paris. And eventually, six companions joined Ignatius to found the First Company of Jesus. Those people who would be Jesus' companions in the world. His feet, his hands, his mouth, bringing the gospel to others. When St. Francis Xavier was in India preaching the gospel, he was baptizing up to 10,000 people a day. His right arm, he said, felt like it would be falling off by the simple gesture of pouring water. But you do that 30,000 times a day, and your arm's going to start to get sore. That time, he couldn't even have time to pray his breviary, because every time he wanted to pray, the kids were coming and grabbing on him, asking him to teach them something more, something new. He had to learn their languages. He tried to put the Creed and the Our Father and the Hail Mary and the Doctrine of the Trinity into songs so that the kids would be able to learn the music and the kids could sing that tune and everybody else learn it. He couldn't stay in a place for very long because there were so many who had never heard the Lord in the nearby villages that he constantly had to be on the move. He wrote a letter back to his superiors saying, "What I would do to be able to go back to the University of Paris and start to scream there in the middle of the square, 'Do you not know how many people have never heard of Jesus Christ who are dying without knowing Jesus for one reason only? The fact that so many people are so selfish and don't care about them, that they'll go about their own business, learning all of this stuff to make themselves their own money, while others are dying.'" Again, There's a burning house, and there are people in there are perishing. What are we going to do? It's not like we can just bury our heads in the sand and pretend that we don't hear those screams. It's the scream today that we hear of secularism, of nihilism. People think that the world has no meaning. People are constantly trying to find solace for their souls in drugs or in promiscuity or in money or in possessions or in other things that will never satisfy. And yet we have the gospel. If St. Francis Xavier were here today, he'd say to us, you want to look at the percentages of those going to Mass here in New Bedford. Even among those who have been baptized, so few practice. There are many others who play everywhere around our city who don't know what a priest is, don't know what a Catholic Church is, have never really heard about Jesus in the Eucharist. What are we waiting for? I think it's essential for every Catholic who's truly going to be faithful to what we believe to read the life of St. Francis Xavier. To read his life. Because when we read his life, we recognize just how much the Lord can do through one person who is lit on fire with zeal for out of love for God and out of love for the salvation of others. How much one person can do with the power of the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, I preached a homily with regard to the new beginning, especially within that section in our parish, of how we're called to make our parish grow and how New Bedford has got to be our specific missionary land. And somebody who I don't know, who happened to be here last week, sent me an email saying, Father, I listened to your homily very carefully, and you know, the one thing that I could say is, you pretend as if Pentecost can happen again. The only way that we'll be able to re-evangelize New Bedford is if Pentecost were to happen again. And I wrote back to this man, and I said, it's the same Holy Spirit that filled the apostles with tongues of fire who still acts in the sacraments. The only obstacle is you. He asked back, writing for a clarification. And I said, all you have to do is be as willing as St. Peter and St. James and St. John and St. Matthew were to what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. That's what made St. Francis Xavier so fertile, because he was willing to do everything for the Lord. St. Francis Xavier's letters were read by many of his contemporaries. They were being copied over and over again. As everybody, part of it was a sense of the exploration of the unknown. Part of it was an incredible fascination with his zeal. There was a young man in Rome named Philip Neri who went to a spiritual director to say, I have to go to the Indies to help Francis. He needs some reinforcement. He can't do it alone. And his very wise spiritual director said, Philip, Rome is to be your Indies. And so St. Philip made Rome his Indies, and that's why he's called the new apostle of Rome. Over the course of the rest of his life, he brought Rome, which once had been such a bastion of faith, but then had fallen into incredible corruption even within the church. He brought Rome back to the faith with the power of the same Holy Spirit that was inspiring St. Francis Xavier. We may not be called to go to India or Japan or China to preach the gospel, New Bedford, Fall River, Acushnet, Dartmouth are our Indies. The house is burning. It's time for us to respond like St. Francis Xavier and go out and do something about it with God's help.